All right, here we are with our panel discussion for the evening. Forget about the independents. We know the Democrats and Republicans are the two major parties in this country. And since Obama came into office, despite his efforts to be bipartisan, it seems that the country has become more polarized than ever. But is it really because the parties and the politicians are so different? I think not. In large part, I think it's just like any other business. It's all about how you market yourself. So I want to talk about how the two parties market themselves to the American people and whose strategies works better. Here to discuss it with me, I have Michelle Seleski from the Young Conservatives Coalition, Catherine Mangu Ward, senior editor for Reason Magazine, and Democratic strategist Walter Ludwig. I want to thank you all for being here. Now, to tell my audience, I had you all write down one word that you think represents the brand for both parties. One word for Democrats, one word for Republicans. So please go down the line and tell us what you wrote.
My word for Republicans is freedom. I think that's what they stand for. And my word for the Democratic Party is government, because I think that's what they believe in.
Right.
I'm going to go with the classic evil-stupid dichotomy, which is perhaps not the branding that the parties would want for themselves, but is a remarkably enduring trope that the Republicans are the sort of evil capitalists and the Democrats are the moronic do-gooders. And I think, you know, secretly the marketing folk at various parties kind of like those images and work with them.
Well, mine's pretty simple. Republicans, no. And because I'm a Democrat, I couldn't do the Democrats in one word. I had to use two, which is we'll try.
All right, I'll forgive you for using two words.
I'm a Democrat.
Well, let's talk about this, though, really. Who do you think does a better job of branding themselves?
Well, at this point, I think both parties are struggling with it and actually have a huge opportunity. Republicans, especially heading into 2010, have an opportunity to become the alternative solutions party versus being an opposition party. People are still looking for answers. They're still looking for hope and change, and they want to see a balanced budget and the deficit reduced. And I think if Republicans come up with a solid platform of solutions and things are going to solve that crisis, they have a huge opportunity to become the solutions party.
But on the other hand, what we're stuck with right now, I think, is both parties warring over who's going to be the populist party. We have the Republicans suddenly finding themselves in a position where there are these tea parties, there's this sort of middle America populist upsurging, which Republicans had not necessarily previously enjoyed any claim to the idea that they were the party of the people. On the other hand, Democrats are losing unions. They weren't able to deliver card check, which was the major union priority for the early Obama term, and you know, unions are shrinking. We recently crossed over from being a unions being a majority private sector thing to a majority public sector thing. So government workers and union workers are increasingly becoming the same category. And the union alliance with Democrats was always their claim to populism. So I think both parties are fighting for that title right now.
Well, I was in marketing before I was in politics, and there's two parts of marketing anything. One is the message, and the other is the delivery system. Republicans are 10 years ahead of us on the infrastructure, the delivery infrastructure. They have a captive television network. We're 50 years ahead of them on the messaging, which gives us a little bit of an edge. But, I mean, Republicans do a great job on getting their message out. Every day, the message comes down from the mothership, and within 10 minutes, every local radio host and Rush Limbaugh and everyone else is saying the same thing. We don't do that very well, and we probably should. I'm not sure we ever really can, because our message tends to be a little bit more nuanced than we don't like that, or no, or small government. It takes a few more words. And we're Democrats, so we generally can't always agree on what the message is. But I think basically the Republicans have always, and probably for a while yet, will do a much better job of delivering what it is they want to say. It just doesn't have much to it.
I mean, I just don't understand why Democrats can't seem to get it together. Republicans, like you said, it's so simple. I can easily say small government, lower taxes, and guns. You know, those are the three things that we love. But with the Democrats, it's too harder because they're all over the board. Can they not decide on three key issues? What is it that they're doing wrong exactly?
Well, I think there's a short message that we could deliver, but there's always a nuance to that message. And as Democrats, we always want to deliver the nuance before we deliver the message. I mean, Democrats are for fairness, they're for opportunity, and they're for freedom. And that sounds just as simplistic as the Republican message does, but we always, and I think it's to our credit to some extent, we always want to then explain what that means to people. And a lot of people don't want to hear the explanation. They like to hear the bite.
I think that's the Democratic Party's problem, actually, is
that
they cherish this idea of themselves as intellectuals, as nuanced thinkers, and you know that can get in the way of delivering a direct message. I don't think we're disagreeing, but you know, Republicans at some point in the 20th century let go of the idea of themselves as intellectuals. They were in the 50s, and they aren't anymore.
And at the same time, it's very hard to solidify a message when you're for big government and higher taxes that Americans don't exactly agree with. And he was saying that the Democratic Party is for freedom, but when you're talking about the government taking over health care, cap and trade, and big, enormous bills are taking over the economy, there's a dichotomy between the messaging there. And so what you're saying isn't exactly the same as what you're doing.
It's the Republicans that are saying that about Democrats, not Democrats that are saying that about Democrats. I mean, I work with
candidates. Well, they're not saying it, but they're doing it.
Well,
taking over 1/6 of the economy and health care is big government.
You know, we could have that argument offline if you want, but the government, of course, already pays for about 70% of health care as it is. I work with candidates all the time, and Democratic candidates that I work with tend to be fairly intelligent people. And I haven't worked with Republicans, so I can't speak to that. I know that your former boss, was a very smart guy. But I always say one rule for them is give the answer before you give the explanation. Okay? They tend to want to just talk and talk and talk. And that...
If you're explaining, you're losing.
Thank you. If you're explaining, you're losing. That's actually my second rule of politics, as a matter of fact. Very good.
Well, what I don't understand, too, is why people don't look into policies more. I mean, is it really that easy to just brand yourself, to sell yourself to the public without worrying about the fact that they might actually look into what you do? You know, I mean, Republicans now are oddly making themselves the party of the people, whereas if you look at policy-wise, I believe, you know, where Democrats want to take it, they actually do more, they pass more legislation that's supposed to help people on a larger scale. I mean, essentially that's what big government is supposed to do, is to make sure that everyone is taken care of. And yet people don't see it that way. They think quite the opposite, that the Republicans are the people's party because the Democrats actually, they're big intellectuals, and there's too many big words flying around.
You're never going to sell people on policy because people have no idea what they want on policy. The American people have an amazing ability to hold in their minds contradictory positions. They want lower taxes. They want more government. They want freedom. They want a safety net. And this is not just the American public as a whole. Individuals, when you poll them, want contradictory things. You can't win people over on policy. So if you're trying to articulate a comprehensive policy platform to the people, that's always going to be a losing proposition. People are always going to vote on who they want a beer with, and the party that embraces that more is the party that wins.
I disagree. I think people are a lot smarter than we think. And right now in 2010, people want jobs, and they want to be able to create small businesses, and they want to be able to increase whatever size their businesses and hire people and earn money and feed their families. So I don't think that's necessarily a complicated issue. They want to find a party, Republican or Democrat or any politician, who's going to enable them to have jobs. And it doesn't matter which party it comes from. They want solutions. And I think that's why you see a huge Tea Party movement that's not affiliated with any party. All they want is an answer.
The way I see that is that people are just impatient. You know, Obama was the guy they wanted to have a beer with, and now maybe it's Scott Brown. They just don't have the patience for actual change to take place, for the economy to recover, for job growth to start up again. They're so fickle, they always want they want instant gratification, and it's just not possible.
Well, the other thing that we have to remember, I mean, I have to remind people, colleagues of mine who work in politics of this all the time, we care a lot more about politics and policy than average voters do. This is not something that's on the, you know, not a kitchen table conversation for a lot of people. The nuances of the health care bill or the nuances of cap and trade is just not something a lot of people worry about. It's not that they're not intelligent. It's not that they're not smart at all. It's just they have bigger fish to fry. They have, to them, what are bigger fish to fry? They have more important things in their lives. The other thing that's probably important to remember in a broader sense about who's better at messaging and who's not better at it is, for a long time, you know, for the last 8 years prior to Obama's inauguration, the Democrats had a pretty simple message: Bush is bad. And that's very simple. It wasn't very good for the country, but it was pretty good from a messaging perspective. And now the Republicans are in the same situation. They have a relatively simpler bench to go to, which is Obama's bad. The difference between the two, of course, being that when the Republicans were in power, they didn't deliver a very complicated or nuanced set of messages to the American people even then. But we have to figure out a way as a party to do what the Republicans have done very successfully, which is to say what we're about in very digestible ways. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's a matter of making people care about it. And the Republicans have done a great job of that.
To be honest, though, I think it's great that the American people don't care about politics. It shows that our system is working. It shows that, you know, whether it's Bush or Obama or Scott Brown running the country, it's going to be fine. Things are going to be okay. People are rationally ignorant about politics. And more power to them.
I think perhaps the rest of the world might disagree, because it seems like internationally people are more concerned with politics. Americans are famous for their apathy. And so how do you think that internationally people, when they look in on the U.S., you know, normally it's just America. They paint it all across, and yet the country does seem to be incredibly divided and incredibly polarized between these two parties.
I think it's a good thing when people look at our country. I mean, America stands for democracy and representation and freedom. And so having a polar debate, whether or not we're divided, is good. It's healthy. At least we can talk about it. But you've got nations like Vietnam and communist places like Korea where people can't talk about it, you know. And so I think it's a good thing.
I've always said, in fact, I wrote it in a speech one time for a candidate, that I've never trusted people, especially politicians, who said, well, I don't like politics. I don't believe in politics. You look at the countries where they don't believe in politics, and they're considerably less free than the one that we have here. I will say this, though. Part of the polarization, I work out there, and the country's not that polarized. I mean, people really want essentially the same things, perhaps approach A or approach B or approach C. The parties, and I have to say the Republicans more than the Democrats, but we do our share of it as well, tend to make this a more polarized conversation than the country actually is having, I think.
And I think that's part of marketing, that's part of branding, is trying to split people up. So if a third party were to really make it in the U.S., how do you think they would do it? How should they market themselves?
You know, as a libertarian, I would love to see a third party emerge, particularly the Libertarian Party, but those guys are a mess. They are a joke. And it's partially because the U.S. system doesn't make space for a third party. But I will say, building on what you were saying before, you know, the one person who's always saying, I don't like politics, if you don't want to trust politicians who say that, it's Obama. In his speeches, he very consistently says, we're going to transcend politics, we're going to move beyond the old partisan bickering. He said it at the inauguration, he said it at the State of the Union, and I'm with you. I think politics are a sign of a healthy polity.
Sure.
But as for a third party emerging, I wouldn't hold my breath.
So there's no real chance for an outsider to come in. Everyone just talks the talk and says that I'm an outsider, but there's no real ability for them to make it inside.
They serve a good role in sending a signal to the other parties. It's kind of the role that the Tea Party movement is playing right now, in holding both parties in check. But I don't think realistically in the American system there's going to be a third party that's going to win an election. But they definitely, just like Ross Perot in the early 90s, sent a message to hold both parties accountable.
All right, I want to thank you all for being here. We're talking about party branding here in the U.S., Republicans, Democrats. Some people say that they're all the same, but, you know, they'll tell you otherwise because they definitely know how to sell themselves to the public. All right, that's it for tonight's show. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to come back tomorrow. We're going to take the conversation even further on how the Obama administration is saying that they might kill U.S. citizens abroad if they believe them to have ties with terrorist organizations.